Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod. BirdwatchersGeneralStore.com.
And proudly sponsored by Ocean State Bird Club. There are good things ahead here in Rhode Island as we hatch safe and creative ways to keep in touch with our members. Get the latest sightings and birding-related events, whether they're in person or virtual. Find us on Facebook and online at OceanStateBirdClub.org. Ocean State Bird Club.
Good morning. Welcome to our show number 785.
Oh, my papa, so funny, so adorable.
A little salute to all the funny and adorable dads today. Happy Father's Day from all of us here at Talkin' Birds. Well, we've experienced some real watershed moments lately in recognizing the importance of diversity in our world, as demonstrated by things like the multiracial participation in Black Lives Matter protests and vigils, the fact that Juneteenth may become a national holiday, and the fact that millions are supporting Pride Month here in June, celebrating the LGBTQ community. And we'd like to salute New York Audubon for creating their Let's Go Birding Together initiative, aimed at creating a dedicated space for LGBTQ birders. Audubon describes Let's Go Birding Together walks as being for anyone who loves birds, likes birds, is vaguely interested in birds, or just wants something fun and different to do outdoors, and to welcome those who identify as LGBTQ allies and families and anyone who wants to enjoy an outdoor experience that is inclusive. This month has also seen the first ever Black Birders Week, actually started on the last day of May, designed to celebrate black nature lovers, including students and scientists, and to increase the visibility of black birders facing unique challenges and dangers when engaging in outdoor activities. And next week here in Talkin' Birds, we'll welcome one of the lead organizers of Black Birders Week. Jeffrey Ward will be here with us on next week's show. Meanwhile, the birding world is certainly not immune to the horrors of the coronavirus. Our hearts go out to all in the birding community and, of course, beyond, who've been affected by the pandemic. And we've just learned of the passing of a highly respected birder in Nicaragua due to COVID-19. He was Luis Fernando Diaz Chavez. And among other things, Luis was a consulting biologist for the biodiversity protection organization Paso Pacifico. He was just 31.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Some of the stories and videos available right now on our TalkinBirds.com website and on our Facebook page. Friday, June 19th was also World Albatross Day. And almost in time to celebrate that, we have a link for you to a Royal Albatross nest cam at the Tairoa Head Nature Reserve in New Zealand. It's on our website and Facebook page right now. Also from New Zealand, more insight into the fact that birds, like people, have different dialects. We'll connect you to a fascinating story about that, courtesy of CNN. Meanwhile, over on our Instagram page, you'll find lots of amazing photos and stories, including one showing some terrific Drain Smart artwork down in Little Rock, Arkansas, along with our friend Dan Scheiman from Audubon, Arkansas, who was our guest on last week's show. And thank you, Ann Wagner, for recommending Dan as a guest. He was terrific. Those are some of the beautiful things you can find on our TalkinBirds.com website and on our Facebook and Instagram pages right now. Well, this bird is first runner-up in Birds That Look A Lot Better Than They Sound competition. This is a preview of our Mystery Bird Contest coming along a bit later on in the show. Our mystery bird is a medium-sized, slender, all-white wading bird with black legs and yellow feet and a long, thin neck, bill, and legs in a dark bill. Our bird eats fish, crustaceans, and small reptiles, which it stalks in shallow water. Our mystery bird, which winters from Florida on south and lives year-round there and throughout South America, its breeding territory is over much of the U.S., and we have beautiful prizes, including The Droll Yankees bottoms up. Finch feeder, not very hospitable for house sparrows and starlings, but great for other birds, and comes complete with a lifetime warranty against squirrel damage. Bonus prize is the app that makes learning bird sounds a game. It's the LarkWire app. It's available for your iOS device or for online use. A little preview there of our mystery bird contest. Meanwhile, our great thanks go out to more new Talkin' Birds ambassadors joining our ambassadors family and helping us to get the word out about our show and about birds and conservation. And thank you to Jim Curley from Ironton, Ohio. Jim says he's fairly new to birding and that so far his favorite bird on his list is the osprey. And he says, we have a place where I can regularly see osprey just across the river in Worthington, Kentucky. Thank you so much, Jim, and enjoy those sightings. And thank you to Dan Murphy from Arlington, Massachusetts. And we are excited to have Dan with us. He describes himself as an enthusiastic novice birder who especially appreciates resources to engage his two children, age 6 and 4. And Dan also happens to be a political scholar and China expert. And he is helping to arrange a guest here on our show, an expert birder now residing in Beijing, China. We're pretty excited about that, to have him on the show here in the near future. Details soon. And Dan, thank you so much. And we are really, really excited today to say that we have reached the goal that we set at the end of May, the goal to be able to say that we have 500 Talkin' Birds listeners now in our Talkin' Birds Ambassadors family. And we reached that goal and surpassed it about a week and a half before our deadline. So we're excited about that and thankful to so many Talkin' Birds listeners who have made it possible. And yes, we will announce who that 500th ambassador is soon. Still to come on our show today, we'll talk to our friend Cliff Hawley out in Sacramento, California, about the revolutionary birding platform eBird and his work as an eBird reviewer. Plus, we'll meet up with Mike O'Connor in our Let's Ask Mike segment, in which Mike will explain why, in nesting season, birds may not be visiting your feeders so much, and why it's not his fault. And up next, a bird that has commenced to cooing all over the continent is today's featured feathered friend, presented by Birdwatching Magazine. For more than a quarter century, Birdwatching has been North America's premier magazine about wild birds and birding. Remember the stories a few years back about the Eurasian collared dove exploding in population in the U.S.? It's hard to forget because the expansion continues, and because that bird is today's featured feathered friend. The Eurasian collared dove is a fairly large dove with a small head, a thin, dark bill, and a long tail, kind of grayish, pinkish buff overall, a little darker above than below. A distinctive feature is the black collar on the back of its neck. In a story similar to that of last week's featured feathered friend, the house finch, the Eurasian collared dove owes part of its territorial expansion to the fact that several of the birds escaped from a pet shop, in the Bahamas in this case, in the 1970s. Others were set free on the island of Guadeloupe to help them avoid a threatened volcanic eruption. And it's believed that by the 80s, many of these birds had made the overwater trip to Florida, and from there to most of the rest of North America. According to eBird maps, the Eurasian collared dove has now been observed in every U.S. state and much of southern Canada. People have aided the Eurasian collared dove's territorial growth with the use of bird feeders and the planting of trees in cities and suburbs, noted as two of the biggest factors in the bird's widespread colonizing. The good news is that interactions between collared doves and other species don't seem to have shown a negative impact on populations of native birds, including mourning doves, at least so far. The bad news for the collared doves is that as an introduced species, they're not protected from hunting, and they've become popular game birds in Texas and in parts of the Southeast. Eurasian collared doves have even expanded into television. One can be seen being confronted by Flo in a Progressive Insurance commercial. The Eurasian collared dove's species name, Deca Octo, comes from Greek mythology. Deka Octo was a suffering servant girl whom the gods transformed into a dove so that she could escape her tormentors. Her former life of misery is recalled in the bird's mournful song. The Eurasian collared dove, Streptopelia deka octo. Today's Talkin' Birds featured feathered friend. Welcome again to our show, number 785. If you'd like to find out more about our show, and we hope you do, visit our website, talkinbirds.com. No G in talkin'. eBird is an online database of bird observations that provides scientists and researchers and birders with real-time data about bird distribution and abundance. It helps with finding birds and so much more, with more than 100 million bird sightings contributed each year by eBirders all over the world. It's managed by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology in collaboration with hundreds of partner organizations, thousands of regional experts, and hundreds of thousands of users. Cliff Hawley is one of 1,000-plus folks around the world who serve as volunteer eBird reviewers. They're the folks who oversee the submission of bird-related data to eBird to make sure it's accurate. And he's about to join us on the phone from Sacramento, California, to tell us more about it. Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning, Ray.
Great to have you on, Cliff, and welcome. So I've tried to give, pardon the expression, a Cliff Notes description of eBird. And before you tell us what you do as a reviewer, Cliff, I wonder if you'd tell us a bit more about eBird from the perspective of a birder who maybe hasn't used eBird but might want to give it a try.
Well, I mean, eBird is fantastic. I've been a loyal user for a long time. I started when it was only a desktop, website, and then ever since it's become an app, it's actually even much easier to enter data while you're out in the field. Mm-hmm. It keeps track of where you're walking. It, you know, you put in the birds you see, and it, you know, maintains your list for you while you're out there. And then that data goes into a database that can be used by scientists. Once it's kind of been through the purification process, I call it. So the reviewers, look it over, make sure everything makes sense. We have filters that we set up based on, what is normal in the area and what, anything unusual pops out. And we get kind of a chance to look it over, make sure people put in the appropriate notes and double check, make sure that everything's all okay.
Okay, that's that purification process of which you speak there. Well, it was a friend of our show from Lake City, Florida, Jerry Poltorek, who suggested we have an eBird reviewer as a guest on the show, and you volunteered to be that guest. Jerry said, I'd like to hear from an eBird checker. How do they check lists, set the rare bird settings? How do they stay motivated to check all those lists? So what do you say about that, Cliff?
Well, the biggest thing is most of us are pretty heavy users of eBird ourselves. So, it helps us to have good data out there, because we use you can use eBird data to find birds. You go into eBird, put in which bird you're looking for in your area, and it'll give you a list of sightings, and you want that to be as accurate as possible. So that's kind of one of the things that motivates us. And also, it's just, a lot of us have science backgrounds. I was a biology major in college, and so we understand that having good data is important for a lot of uses.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of data, obviously, with so many people participating all over the world now, right?
Yeah. There is quite a few records come in every day. There are peak periods. Sometimes we're busier than others. Christmas bird count season is pretty busy. There's an event called the Great Backyard Bird Count in February that often gets a lot of records, and often from pretty inexperienced users. So those are busier times where we have to kind of go through and make sure things are accurate. We actually set some of the filters lower that weekend because we know birds that are commonly misidentified. Things like, house finch versus purple finch. Mm-hmm. Purple finch is pretty unusual in our area. So we want that one to get filtered out so we can look it over, make sure they have a description and, know what they were looking at.
Jerry says it seems as though eBird reviewers never get a day off. Is that true? have a regular job, too.
Oh, yeah. I work for the state of California, actually. I have a regular job. I mean, there's always records coming in, but most of eBird has put in some new tools to help us. There's this new quick review queue. that makes it quick and easy to check records and send off emails to people when you're at, have a question about a sighting. But yeah, it's like I said, during those peak times it can get pretty busy. But there's in my county we have two reviewers, and it's a good sized county, 1.5 million people. Not obviously not all eBird users, but most days are 10 records or so. Mm-hmm. Sometimes during peak times of spring migration, you'll get 50 or mm-hmm. or more, and you can go through those pretty quickly. Most of them are accurate. They have notes in there, and you just go, oh yeah, your notes look good. Sounds like that's what you saw. Confirmed.
So mostly accurate, but yet, Cliff, you must have to be something of a diplomat when you're dealing with folks who do submit sightings that may not be quite right. They want to be right, and you have to challenge them a little bit.
Well, the biggest thing is, we're all on the, I gotta say, we're all on the same team, that we want all the records to go into the system correctly. So, I always, people don't intend to be, inaccurate. You just want to guide them to, sometimes their notes lead you to a different species, and you say, oh, hey, I think it might be, this species instead. Does that make sense based on what you saw? Sometimes you just have to, you just have to question and kind of poke it. Most times people go, oh, okay, that's right. I'll go ahead and change that. And, very rarely do you have somebody that gets a little, sometimes people get upset about being questioned. And it's like, oh, it's, we're just trying to make sure the data is correct,
Yeah.
So, most people are very, very, very cool about it. So
nothing personal there.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's Cliff Hawley. He's a volunteer eBird reviewer based in Sacramento, California. And Cliff, before you go, tell us, tell folks how they can keep up with your many activities, and also tell us about your live Twitch TV show.
Oh, yeah. So you can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/vermfly. It's short for Vermilion Flycatcher.
Vermfly.
And then on Twitch, Twitch TV, twitch.tv/vermfly as well. I have a couple times a week live stream show where I, do bird identification, take eBird quizzes and discuss, ID points and, just talk about birds and birding.
All right. That's live twitch.tv/vermfly.
It's just twitch.tv/vermfly.
I'll try that again. twitch.tv/vermfly.
Yep, correct.
I think we got it. Cliff, thanks so much for being on the show, and thanks for the great work with eBird.
Thank you. I appreciate being on. Have a good day.
Thanks so much. Coming up next, it's our Mystery Bird Contest in just 1 minute.
Hello, I'm Ed Begley, Jr., and wherever you call home, the sounds of wildlife connect you with a greater family of life. That's why you shudder each time you see woods, marshes, meadows, or grasslands being destroyed. You know that countless birds and other wild animals are losing their homes, the greatest threat to their survival. Among the growing number of threats to wildlife, habitat loss is the most devastating. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust offers a humane solution, working with private landowners to protect habitat as permanent safe havens for wildlife. When you hear the familiar wild voices you love, remember, your voice is the one that can speak for wildlife and for the land they call home, ensuring that it stays forever wild. To learn more or to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, visit wildlifelandtrust.org.
Our Mystery Bird Contest is presented by Red Start Birding. Red Start Birding is your new resource for birding optics, gear, and expertise. Great birding starts at redstartbirding.com. You may want to block your ears partially for this mystery bird sound. You see what I mean there? Our mystery bird is a medium-sized, slender, all-white wading bird with black legs and yellow feet and a long, thin neck and a dark bill. Our bird eats fish and crustaceans and small reptiles, which it stalks in shallow water. Our bird winters from Florida on south and lives year-round there and throughout South America. Its breeding territory is over much of the U.S. Some clues there, and our prizes include the Droll Yankees Bottoms Up Finch Feeder, great for birds like goldfinches and chickadees and woodpeckers and nuthatches and many more. Not so great for sparrows and starlings who can't hang upside down very well there. This comes with a lifetime warranty, by the way, against squirrel damage. The Troll Yankees, bottoms up. Finch Feeder. Bonus prize is a download to your iOS device or online access to the LarkWire app, the app that makes learning bird sounds a game. Prizes, clues, and the sound of our mystery bird. The number to call is 781-837-4900. As always, we urge you to make your call as soon as you can if you know what the bird is. And even if you don't, take a guess. A drawing will determine our winner if no correct answer is received. 781-837-4900 is the number. Call us as soon as you can while we check in with Mike O'Connor down there at the famous Birdwatchers General Store on Cape Cod. It's Let's Ask Mike in just 1 minute.
Talking Birds, we're for the birds. And we want to say thanks to another Talking Birds ambassador who's helping to spread the word about birds and conservation.
My name is Dawn Greenway, and I'm calling from Chattanooga, Tennessee. I decided to become a Talking Birds ambassador because by being an ambassador, I feel like I'm contributing to promoting awareness and conservation. I would encourage anyone to become a Talking Birds ambassador because it'll give you an opportunity to introduce others to this entertaining and informative show about birds.
Talking Birds listeners, we hope you'll join our ambassadors family. It's easy to do. Just visit our website, talkingbirds.com. Click on Get Involved at the top of the homepage and then choose the Become an Ambassador option at talkingbirds.com. And thanks.
Mike O'Connor is down there at the Bird Watchers General Store. Let's say hello to him right now. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Ray, and happy Father's Day to all the dads out there.
Happy Father's Day to you, Mike. Well, let me see if I have this straight. Every year at this time, you sell your customers crummy bird seed that doesn't attract any birds. Is that the deal?
Oh, so it was Simeon. I promise this year. I said to myself, you know, I'm not going to do a radio show on this. It seems like I'm whining every year. I do the same topic. But it, no, apparently, you know, you have nobody listened last year or something.
Yeah.
Because people complain June is the time where, at least in our area, but we'll just say the breeding season in this area is June, where that's why the birds breed in the spring, is when all the insects hatch. In order to fledge the babies quicker, they stuff them with protein-filled insects. So at that time period, which just coincides with June around here, the birds ignore our feeders, and they go out and pick up the little green worms and insects and feed their babies with them. In my yard, I had 3 chickadee nests, so that's at least 6 chickadee total parents, and I didn't see a chickadee all month because they're out grabbing insects. But for some reason, I can't seem to get that message through. So people are coming in complaining that there's something wrong with them. People bring back bird seed. I'm like shocked at that. I said, what's the matter with you? It's like, you know, having a party and returning the Rice Krispie treats because everybody was eating the Twinkies. No, it's just the birds have made a different choice that day. There's nothing wrong with any of the products, especially Rice Krispie treats. Yeah. But it's just the way it is. And then, to make things really good, in another few weeks, or maybe even another few days, things will switch around, and now the percentage of birds coming to the feeders will quadruple because all these birds have had babies, maybe 3 or 4 for each pair, and there'll be more birds than ever. And then people will say, what am I going to do with all these birds that are going out?
Yeah.
So right, just the times when there's not birds at the feeders, it's either breeding season, it could be hawks, it could be a matter of whatever. Just keep your feeders clean and the food fresh, and they'll be back, I promise you, or we'll all eat Twinkies.
All right, Mike, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds great, man.
All right.
Every Wednesday, Birdwatching Magazine sends an e-newsletter full of information of interest to birdwatchers, including recent news stories about birds, conservation, and science, photography tips, stories about places to go birding, bird ID tips, and much more. Best of all, the newsletter is free. Sign up today at birdwatchingdaily.com/newsletter.
Here we are back at the Mystery Bird Contest, and we apologize for playing the sound of this bird again. A medium-sized, slender, all-white wading bird with black legs and yellow feet, a long, thin neck, and legs and a dark bill. Bird eats fish and crustaceans and small reptiles, which it stalks in shallow water. What might that bird be? 781-837-4900 is the number to call. And our first caller is from the legendary city of Lynn, Massachusetts. It's Ted there in Lynn. Good morning, Ted.
Morning, Ray. How's it going today?
It's going well. It is one heck of a beautiful day, and thank you for calling in, Ted. And what do you think on the mystery bird there?
I think it's a snowy egret.
Let me check here on the list here. It says snowy egret right here. Absolutely right. It must have been that yellow, those yellow feet, Ted, that kind of gave it away there.
That was the big giveaway.
All right. Well, nicely done. You are correct. And we have a little extra time here, Ted. I wonder if you'd like to try a little bonus question that we have here.
Sure.
Okay. Now, this is a multiple choice question. Here it is. The color blue in the feathers of all blue-colored birds, like indigo buntings, blue birds and blue jays, for example, comes from A, blue pigment in the feathers, B, the interaction of light with feather structures, or C, eating too many blueberries. We should note, by the way, when I say that, the color of birds' feathers can and often is affected by the food they eat, but not when it comes to the color blue. So what do you say, Ted?
I'm going to go with A.
A would be the blue pigment in the feathers would be the... Oh, my gosh. That does not seem to be the correct answer, according to our judges there who are with the trumpet. No, it's really the interaction of light with feather structures, and experts tell us there is no such thing as blue pigment in the feathers of any bird anywhere, which is kind of amazing because there are lots of blue birds out there, but it's all having to do with that kind of nanostructure in the feathers and how the light reacts to it to create what appears to be the color blue. But Ted, you're a winner on our mystery bird contest nonetheless, so if you'll stand by, Jesse will get your info and we'll send you some nice prizes.
All right, well, thank you, Ray.
Thank you so much, Ted from Lynn, correctly identifying there on back at the Mystery Bird Contest, the snowy egret as this morning's mystery bird. Well, here it is again. We've come to pretty much the end of our show for this morning. Thank you so much for being with us. If you'd like to join our ambassadors program, well, we sure hope you will. Pretty easy to do. Just go to our website, talkingbirds.com. Go to Get Involved at the top of the homepage, and then just choose the Become an Ambassador option. That is about the size of it. So next week, we'll be joined by one of the people behind a very important recent event. Jeffrey Ward is an organizer of Black Birders Week, and he will be our special guest. That's right here on next week's show. Thanks to our amazing Talking Birds team, our senior producer, Debbie Bleacher, our outreach coordinator and chief ambassador, Freya McGregor, our special assistant, Audrey Stack, and our producing engineer, Jesse Wilkins. Stay safe. Happy Father's Day to all the dads, and we'll see you next week.
Ray Brown's Talking Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store. Orleans, Cape Cod. Birdwatchersgeneralstore.com. By Celestron. Offering binoculars and scopes for birders of all levels. Celestron.com. By Birds and Beans shade-grown bird-friendly coffee. Birdsandbeans.com.
And proudly sponsored by Ocean State Bird Club. There are good things ahead here in Rhode Island as we hatch safe and creative ways to keep in touch with our members. Get the latest sightings and birding-related events, whether they're in person or virtual. Find us on Facebook and online at OceanStateBirdClub.org. Ocean State Bird Club.